Morning Drive on 101.7 The Hammer and 101.7thehammer.com. Jared Jesulaitis, Kyle Charters is over there. It's a Friday. Got some Purdue basketball this weekend. No Purdue football this weekend. So I guess you got to get a rest. You still got boiler watching to do on Saturday in the middle part of your day. Alan Karpik is on with us. He's on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline from goldandblack.com. Al, let's just touch on football really quick before we get into basketball with the bye week. They've been hot, you know. Aiden O'Connell has let them down for a couple of game-winning drives here in the last two games. Good time to take the bye right now. I know they don't really get an option, but is this an opportune time for the bye, you think?
Well, I think that if they have the ability to get anybody back, and it was unclear to us when talking to the coaches this week whether that really is going to happen, whether, you know, Rondale Moore, which seems to be unlikely, but and certainly Elijah Sindelar and Lorenzo Neal, I'm not holding my breath on those as well. So I suppose if it gives you a chance to get some guys healthy, you need a lot of time. You need a full complement of players to go up to Madison, one would think, and make that a competitive game. But I think Purdue's spirits should be good, and that's a good thing. And I still think you're still trying to target everything towards 2020. You still have a lot to play for. Obviously, you still have a chance on paper to go up to Madison and pull the victory and beat Indiana. But Purdue will be a decided underdog in each of those games.
Let's talk a little bit of basketball. Alan, the Boilermakers 1-2. What, if anything, has surprised you about the start of the season?
Just the fact they didn't win. I mean, I think you look at both games and you put the Texas loss, obviously, that last Saturday night, and then the game against Marquette a couple nights ago, that those are games that Purdue had in hand and in a lot of ways. And I think that's the surprising thing. Does it surprise me that happened? No, in some ways, because I still think this team has a lot of things to figure out. And some of the things I didn't know exactly what we were going to see have come to fruition in terms of an offense at crunch time that's not exactly sure where to go. The free throw shooting's been disappointing. That hopefully will get better. I do think that the schedule, even though Purdue's schedule is extremely challenging, the next 2 weeks couldn't come at a better time because the Boilermakers on paper, again, Chicago State and Jacksonville State, are teams that Purdue can work on certain things to get better, one would think. But history will tell you that those games sometimes sneak up on you. Just ask the University of Kentucky in Evansville, so you have to be careful.
Chicago State has lost 44 straight on the road, got beat at Eastern Illinois 98-34 on Tuesday. I don't think they're going to be able to compete.
I think you're right on that. I'm guessing that Vegas is going to be taking that off the board for that. Yeah. I just think from Purdue's standpoint, they need to get better. They need to get to do things under the lights, so to speak. Chicago State might be the worst team to ever show up in Mackey Arena. I would like to say that the three of us could compete in that game, but that might not be quite true.
Well, it's because Kyle's out of shape there, Alan. That's the problem.
I have no jumper. But the point is that, Purdue just needs to work on a lot of things, and I think that part of it, the talent is there, but I think there are questions. I mean, you got to have guys who can make it happen at crunch time, make jump shots and make free throws, and that's all stating the obvious, but that's what we've seen here in the first three games.
Alan, what's your level of worry there through the first three games? I mean, we try to compare it a little bit to last season where, you know, it's a team that's trying to find itself and there's going to be these kind of hiccups and everything, and of course, you know, you saw what that finished product was and how they made that run through the tournament, so I don't know if you can directly compare the two seasons, but, you know, after watching this 1-3 start, what's your level of worry right now with the team?
Well, I think you're always concerned because you're in a fight to make the NCAA tournament. If you'd asked me on December 15th of 2018, is Purdue going to make the NCAA tournament? I said probably not after the Notre Dame loss. So things can go south. This is just a different team, and I think completely, and that's stating the obvious. I mean, without Carson Edwards, Ryan Klein, and really without a Grady Eifert, too, a guy that just seemed to make plays at the right time, Purdue has to find a way to adjust. I have a lot of confidence in this coaching staff that, and really with the guys they've put on the court, but how will they blend? And the thing that you run into is what you guys have talked about, which is a challenge, is you've got tough games on your schedule. You don't, you know, you can't afford to be 5-5 or whatever you might be after 10 games. or let's just say it's going to be tough to dig out of a hole, because the Big Ten, while it may not be the best league in the country, what I've seen of Ohio State, certainly Michigan State's going to be better than its one loss already. Maryland, there are some definite teams that will cause some problems, and teams, I believe, that Purdue plays twice. I think Purdue only plays Ohio State once. My point is, you got a lot of pitfalls out there, and you better start winning. But you also need to be patient, because in the next 2 weeks, Purdue will get two more wins and be 3-2 heading down to Destin, where they'll have a very challenging tournament. So maybe by the 1st of December, we'll have a better feel of where Purdue is. But there are landmines in this schedule, and you do need to beat some of these teams, especially when you're trying to build that NCAA resume.
The bottom third of the Big Ten might be the worst that it has ever been, however, unfortunately. There's some individual guys who, it seems to me, Alan, are laboring through new roles. And the guys I'm looking at are, like Aaron Wheeler and Nojel Eastern, sort of struggling to find themselves with these new higher profile roles. You think that's fair to say?
Well, I don't know about Eastern. I think Eastern in the situation, too, is it's hard to tell how his foot is. And then you get thrown three fouls in a game where you're not a factor. And I think so it's a little bit hard to say. I think it's a little different. Sure, when you don't have Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein out there making shots all over the place, yes, Purdue's made some threes this year, but it just changes the dynamic of it. Nojel Eastern could go down to the block, try to get offensive rebounds, do things down there that he has to do more on the court now. And that will be a challenge for him. We don't know if he can consistently make a 15-foot jumper. I mean, right now I'd say he hasn't, and yet he can score inside. That's going to be important as well. Aaron Wheeler, again, I think you're right. There is an adjustment there, because the he's just in a completely different role. He's a guy that they need to have production out of. They need to have consistent production out of him. I know you guys talked earlier in the show about his need to be able to finish. That's clear. He's had opportunities close to the basket here. Aaron Wheeler is a tempo guy, or at least he has been. He now needs to turn into a consistent guy, and a consistent guy that can, make threes and slash the basket, get to the basket. He's improved his ball handling skills, but he still has a ways to go there. And I think all those factors is what's going to make this an interesting season. It's a season that I'm not being critical. I'm just seeing what I'm seeing here is you don't know exactly how this is going to go, because I can't sit here and say, "Oh, Purdue." I guarantee you, Purdue is an NCAA tournament team right now, and I think they are. But you're going to have to beat some of these teams, whether it be a VCU or a Butler, a Virginia at home. All those kind of games are going to be tough. And then you open up. I understand that the Big Ten is not as very good on the bottom end. That gives you some opportunity, because your first Big Ten game is against Nebraska. But again, Purdue's got to prove that it can do the things it takes to win on the road, and it's going to take a little bit of time to figure that out.
Alan, I thought Matt Painter had a good description of his team after the Marquette game. Talked about they had a lot of talent, but he doesn't really trust them right now when it comes down to it. I think a lot of fans say, yeah, that seems to make sense. How does that get received in a locker room, you think?
Well, I think Matt has a good way of putting the heat on his guys, whether it be subtly or not so subtly. He does it more directly in practice. That I know. He's never short on being able to state his opinion and what he expects from his team. But I think this is a great group of guys, if that means anything. And it can. It doesn't always translate into guys that are going to win basketball game. I think he's trying to get them. He talked about, I can remember doing an interview with him in late October about how you're always nervous as a coach this time of year, because you don't know exactly how things are going to go. And certainly last year, early on, it took some time. It certainly, again, we could always go back to that Notre Dame game, but that the Boilermakers, let some games get away from them last year, certainly against Florida State and Virginia Tech early on. These are two different teams, to be clear, but there's a similar pattern there. And yes, Purdue lost by 10 points to Marquette, or 9 points, or whatever it was. That was a game that Purdue should have won. but they lost it at the end of the first half when they were up 13, when they should have been up 22 points. And those are little things that get you beat. So, yeah, I think it'll be received. It'll be interesting. I think, Jared, it'll be telltale of where this team is how well that message is received, because they need to get to work on doing the things that, you know, whatever it takes to make free throws, to be a little bit more precise, the spacing on offense has been problematic at times. All those factors play into that. They just have work to do. The question is, how will the work get done, and will it translate into wins over quality programs at the right time?
Alan Karp at GoldenBlack.com, a tremendous resource for all of your Purdue news. You need to get over there, check it out. And then, of course, Alan's going to actually be back on the Boiler Basketball Show with us here this afternoon from 3 to 4. Kyle Charter's actually filling in on this one. So, Alan, I know you had so much fun. We'll relive it again this afternoon. Sound good to you?
All right, sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.
Take care, bud. All right, we'll come back, and we'll continue to look at this matchup for Purdue over the weekend against Chicago State, and we'll get our thoughts on that next. Your text as well at 765-447-4080 on how you're feeling about this Purdue basketball team heading into the weekend. Send them to us. We'll read them. That's coming up next. Right now, SportsCenter Update on 101.7.